Hey lady, I am so freaking jazzed that you're here. My name is Emily and I am a clinical social worker deeply passionate about what's going on in between our ears. I am here to help build up your toolbox against self-doubt, social comparison, and nasty self-talk to help keep you kind to your mind. You know, we all have something going on in that noggin of ours that isn't always kind. So let's put in the legwork and flex those mindset muscles so that we can move the mountains we were meant to freaking move. Let's go. Hey there, girlfriend. Welcome back to another episode. We have been on quite the journey together, you and I, and by the time this episode airs, we will have spread the Kind Mind message to over 5,000 people. How wild is that? You and I have spread this message to over 5,000 women that needed to be kinder to themselves, and that in turn makes them kinder to the people around them. I think we can all agree that this world needs a little bit more kindness lately, and I am so proud to be spreading that kindness together, so thank you. And in honor of this milestone, I have put a little giveaway together over on my Instagram page to say thank you for sharing the podcast with your gal pals and continuing to allow my weirdo self to be riding along in your passenger seat as you continue your personal growth journey. So, if you are interested in entering this little giveaway or know a friend that might be interested, head over to my Instagram page at Emily Helderman and we will get the party started over there. I have been absolutely loving connecting with you on a more personal level over there on the IG and learning more about your journey. So thank you so, so much for sharing your growth with me. It's just beautiful to see. So today, I wanted to share with you something from my world as a therapist that has been really helping me in my own personal growth as well. It comes from a specific therapy model called dialectical behavioral therapy. And the idea is that there are a few different minds that we operate in. Now, I'm going to get a little bit of the technical stuff here on you so we can sort of set the framework for what we're going to chat about today. But what the heck is DBT? Well, Marsha Linehan, the creator of dialectical behavioral therapy, she created this model, and I'm going to give you sort of the cliff notes here so we know a little bit more about what we're working with. First of all, dialectical. What the heck? Dialectics. The idea that two opposing thoughts can be both true at the same time. For example, the biggest dialectic we focus on in DBT is the balance of acceptance and change. So there are areas of my life that I want to see change in, and I accept that this is where I am right now. Two opposing thoughts, two opposite thoughts that can be true and live in the same space. And in the role of the therapist, we do this dance between these two ideas, pushing you to accept where you are right now and also strive for change when you can, when you're able to. DBT, the B is behavioral. A behavior in this case is anything that can be reinforced or rewarded. That reinforcement piece is the driving force that will motivate those positive behaviors to happen again. It increases their likelihood to occur. So in DBT, we strive to harness the power of behavior change to bring you closer to your goals. And the goal here is that by following these principles and truly applying them, you will begin to build a life that you're really freaking proud of. That you're really freaking proud of, and who doesn't want that, right? Now that was a lot, okay? That was a lot. I realized that. But the first skill in DBT work that most people are exposed to is called wise mind. This is what I had mentioned before. The three minds that we kind of operate under, this skill is based on the basic belief that all people within them have the ability for wisdom, have the ability to make wise decisions. But there are two other minds that sometimes like to take over. Okay? The first of which is reasonable mind. Reasonable mind is when you are, you're cool and rational and primarily task focused. When you're hanging out in reasonable mind, you are ruled by facts and reason and logic. How you feel doesn't matter. What you want doesn't matter. What you're hoping for doesn't matter. It is all black and white logic. Almost the exact opposite of this, though, is something we call emotion mind. Emotion mind is exactly how it sounds. You're hot, you're mood dependent, and emotion focused. When you're in your emotion mind, you're ruled by your mood and your feelings and your urges to do and say things, right? Logic is out the window. You're loaded. You're leading with your emotions. Now, we need to pause here for a second. Neither of these are bad things. Not at all. There are times where we need to operate in reasonable mind. There are times where we need to operate in emotion mind too. But those two in excess is what fogs our decision making. That's the thing that we're really concerned about here. Tell me if you connect with this part. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you have to make a decision and you tell yourself, okay, I'm turning the emotions off. What's logical? What are the facts? So you make that decision entirely based on logic and then find yourself later pretty unhappy with the decision that you made. Prime example for me. A few years back, I was living in Illinois with my significant other at the time. If you've listened to my Rock Bottom Girl episode, you know this story. Basically, the night that I was dumped, I immediately started packing up my car to go back to Ohio. Mind you, it was pretty freaking late at night, okay? And I was packing everything up. I was looking strictly at the facts first before those emotions really set in. My relationship was over. There was nothing tying me to Illinois. We lived together. I would call work in the morning and pack up my car that night. I would notify the apartment complex and mail them my keys. All of this came running through my mind, checking all of the logical boxes of what needed to happen to get myself out, right? I was trying to convince myself that the solution or the next step was so cut and dry and logical, but really, it was so much more complicated than that. So much more complicated. Staring at the absolute instant facts and nothing else. When do you find yourself operating in reasonable mind? You know, it's funny because when we are living in reasonable mind to the extreme, the decisions we make are not actually reasonable. They're not actually logical and certainly not wise. It was in no way reasonable for me to pack up an apartment I had been living in for almost 2 years in one night. It was certainly not logical for me to call the job that I loved on my drive back to Ohio to tell them that I wouldn't be coming back. Okay, spoiler alert here, I didn't do either of those things. Emotion mind kicked in and I was in my bed a few hours later, okay? The feels caught up to me. But when was the last time you found yourself there? Maybe not to that extreme, but in a decision-making place where deciding what to do based on logic alone didn't give you the most logical or desirable outcome. Me too, dude. I hear you. But also, what about the flip side? This one is the most obvious for me, I think. And obviously, when we're operating strictly out of emotion mind, without some logic or reason sprinkled in there, we are probably not going to get the most desired outcome here either. When was the last time you found your noggin operating strictly in emotion mind? Maybe it was getting back with the guy that you factually and logically know hurt you, but giving him a second chance anyway. Or sending him that 2 a.m. text message. You ever done that before? I certainly have. Maybe it was ending a friendship when you were overwhelmed by emotion or saying things that you didn't mean. When was the last time? Because for me, It was just the other day, girlfriend. I clocked out at work on a Friday, and I closed my car door, took my badge off, and just immediately started sobbing. And girlfriend, I mean that ugly cry. You know what I'm talking about. My emotion mind, it took over. It took over. Started saying things like, will they be okay over the weekend? Will my patients be okay? Will they relapse and hurt themselves if I'm not there? Did I do them justice this week? It was all flooding in, pure, pure emotion. And after a moment or two, logic mind finally decided to join the party. Started saying things like, Emily, breathe, okay? It's not your job to keep them safe. It's your job to help them heal. And you're doing that. You're off the clock. Put it down. My reason mind finally kicked in and decided to talk some sense into me, right? Which of these two do you find yourself gravitating towards or experiencing most often? Are you a reason mind kind of chick over there, drilling the facts until the cows come home? Or are you more often finding yourself sitting in that emotion mind? Neither of these are good or bad, but being able to recognize what we find most often for us personally is going to help us with this wise mind piece. For me, I will say it loud and proud, I am an emotion mind gal, okay? I feel all the feels and I feel them hard, which is not always a bad thing, but it can be. In trying to build a life that I'm really freaking proud of, yeah, it can be. But what is it for you? Try and pinpoint that right now. Are you a reason mind, an emotional mind, a mix of both? Probably, but what do you gravitate towards the most? Because that brings us to wise mind. What is wise mind? Think of it sort of as a Venn diagram of sorts. You have a circle of reasonable mind and a circle of emotion mind, and wise mind is the place where those two circles overlap. That's the place where we find the wise decisions. That's the place where we strive to see the value of both reason and emotion, where we bring those two minds together. And in the therapy world, we call this walking the middle path, meaning the path that allows both logic and emotion to be part of the decision-making process. Now, listen, okay, full disclaimer here, it is literally impossible to be in wise mind all the time. I want to make that super freaking clear, okay? There are, in fact, times where you need to lead with logic. When you're balancing a checkbook or buying a car, I would venture to say that most financial decisions require us to lead with logic, right? But there are also times where it's appropriate for us to lead with that emotion. Choosing a life partner, losing a family member, all sorts of things. But avoiding decision making at either of these extremes is really the goal here. Okay, I think we have all experienced that feeling of regret after making a decision where we were not exactly in the right headspace. And that's what we're trying to avoid here. Girlfriend, I know that you are a goal-driven person. You're listening to a personal development podcast, for goodness sake, and I also know that someone with goals, someone that wants those things so badly, can sometimes be grinding so hard for so long that they find themselves in one of these two extreme places. Maybe you're overwhelmed by the emotions of what it takes to sprint towards your goals like you have been. Or maybe you're overwhelmed by all the facts of why you're not there yet. So I want to leave you with a little tool here, okay? A little mindset trick for when we find ourselves in that overwhelmed space. The goal of this tool is not to bring you from overwhelmed out of 10 to content out of 10 or anxious out of 10 to content out of 10, but instead overwhelmed or anxious out of 10, right? That overwhelmed place to overwhelmed or anxious at a 7 or an 8, maybe. Bringing our mind back down to where Wise Mind can step in and really do its job, bringing us back to a place where we can make decisions that we'll be proud of. This tool is for when you are feeling overwhelmed by things like worry thoughts or overwhelmed by anger, maybe. Okay? And it's called Wise Mind Accepts. This fancy DBT acronym. And if you decide to dive deeper into learning about DBT, you'll find that they love their acronyms. Okay? Wise Mind Accepts. The idea is that by following each letter, you'll bring yourself back down to that wise mind place. You may find that for you, you don't need to use all of them, and that's great. Choose one that serves you, okay? The first is A, activities. Pull yourself away from the event, the person, or the thought that put you in that extreme emotion or extreme reason mind place by doing something that you love. Something that brings you joy, something that you know makes you happy. Before you make that important decision or choose those pivotal next steps, do a pleasurable activity of some kind to put yourself in a headspace where you can truly make that choice. The first C in accepts is contributing. Maybe you're the kind of person that needs to contribute to somebody else. Not only does it make them feel good, but putting some positive energy out, it brings it back to you too. This can be as simple as paying for the car behind you in the drive-thru, right? Or allowing a friend to vent to you, helping them with the task, something to where you are contributing to someone else. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm able to contribute to someone else, I feel my own sense of overwhelm come down too. Okay. Pleasant activities, contributing to others. The second C is comparison. And by this, we do not mean starting to compare yourself to everybody under the sun, right? To compare yourself to others, you and I both know that we don't want to fall down that rabbit hole. But turning to gratitude is sort of what we mean here. Bringing awareness to the fact that I know there are people in this world struggling more than I am. That if they can make it through their hardships, so can I. With the overwhelm you're feeling, bringing yourself to a place of gratitude for what you do have, instead of worry of what you don't. And to be honest, dude, that doesn't even have to be comparison to other people. But maybe it would be best serving you to compare you to who you were before, or something that you've been through previously. Right? Something that you overcame before and measuring it next to the overwhelm that you're feeling now, that kind of comparison. All right, now the E stands for emotions. Striving to evoke the opposite emotion of what you're currently feeling. If you are anxious, striving for that calm, right? If you're angry, striving for even just being content. Finding little short activities that will allow us to do that. This will be different for everybody, right? It could be walking your dog around the block to clear your head or burning a candle that's calming to you. It could be playing a particular song that brings up that desired emotion for you. This one takes a bit of trial and error, to be honest, but finding short, simple activities that can get you closer to that desired emotion. The P in Wise Mind Accepts stands for push away. Not pushing it away forever, but giving yourself permission to put that overwhelm down for a moment, to put that decision down for a moment, to put that next step down for a moment, and to set a timer. Set a timer for no more than 30 minutes. And go do one of those other letters. Go do a pleasant activity or contribute to someone else. And when that timer goes off, go pick up what you've pushed away and look at it with a more wise mind perspective, right? Push it away, put it down, set a timer, and come back to it. All right? The T stands for thoughts. In this heightened emotional state, your thoughts are flooding. The idea here is that we strive to occupy those thoughts with something else so that they can't really take a grip on our mindset, right? Something like doing a logic puzzle or a Sudoku puzzle, looking up brain teasers or word puzzles, completing a crossword even, something to occupy your mind so that other thoughts don't stand a chance. Doing something mentally taxing to occupy that space. All right, now the last letter is S, and S stands for sensations. Engaging our five senses in some way. It's meant to ground us to the present, a bit of a mindfulness approach here, to occupy our senses. Changing your external body temperature, for example, is something that can be extremely helpful. Some people will hold ice in their hands or crunch a mint in their mouth, putting a cool washcloth on their forehead, or even splashing their face with cold water. It may sound silly, sure, I'll give you that, but safely changing your external body temperature to clear that noggin of yours is going to work wonders. So, my friend, that is Wise Mind Accepts. I have put the full acronym down in the show notes for you to refer back to, as well as a few resources for you to dive into if you're interested in learning more about DBT, what it entails, other helpful DBT tools. But today's episode was different, right? And dense, but hopefully also packed with skills that you feel like you can use. This podcast, after all, is for you. So I want to know what you think. Do you want more mindset tools like this? Slide into my DMs and let your girl know, okay? But before I go, I want to leave you with this. Your reasonable mind, it isn't wrong. Your emotion mind is not wrong. We have them for a reason. And they do serve a purpose. But when we are faced with those big life decisions and those tricky next steps, we have to bring our noggins back to that middle path, right? Back to that wise mind place. All right, my wise friend, it's time for you to go slay your dang goals. I love you. Okay, stay kind, and I will talk to you very soon. Dude, thank you so much for including the kind mind and this weirdo in your journey. If you vibed with this episode, I would love to connect with you on social media. Go take your takeaways to your Instagram story and tag me so I can thank you for spreading a message that is near and dear to my heart. Thank you for letting me sit in the passenger seat of your personal growth journey. I want to hear about the mountains that you are moving. But until next time, stay kind to that mind, girlfriend. I'll talk to you soon.